Welcome to Gin and a Mug podcast, where myself, Sally Rose, and my good friend Amanda Jane catch up each week for a debrief. There will be some tough subject and some swearing, you've been warned, but there'll also be a lot of laughs, oh, and a lot of gin. We hope you enjoy.
Oh, there we go. Now we've got it working. Hey, Amanda.
Hi, Sally.
You know, I always swore, Sally, that I would never do a podcast, and yet here I am.
Amanda's lost it.
I have. You know, weeping woman, give her a ticket. Kick her in the guts.
Let's go. Can't I just sit in my car and cry?
It's a bit of a niche. bit of a bespoke boutique area.
You may
podcast.
Just see for us. I swear I have PTSD, and I'm not joking, from dealing with the NDIS.
The politically correct, comfortable phrase. I believe, Sally, it's called a life-limiting condition. Mm. Hoping for sponsorship?
Yeah, just any local gin. If you want us to get drunk on your gin, we will. We're laughing, but that's what we do when we feel like shit. So,
So cheers, Sally.
Cheers.
Hey, Amanda.
Hi, Sal.
How you doing?
Good. I might just turn off my Animal Crossing.
Yeah. While I was doing technical things, Amanda was playing Animal Crossing and tending her farm.
Indeed. And then if anyone wants to send me an orange, that would be really great. If you're in lockdown, you know what I mean.
It feels like forever since we've done this.
It does. We've been gasbagging through the week, but just sort of not recording because, you know, life and things. So yesterday was appointment day for me. Oh, my God. So it was like this tightly choreographed getting to all of the appointments day. You know those ones.
I know those ones very well. They're things. Now, we've got – it's been so long, so bit slack getting out the other podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Because that's you, slack. Yeah. You're sitting around eating bonbons. That's you.
Oh, God, bonbons would be good. Are bonbons actually chocolate or are they toffee?
No, they're the French things that are in the pretty little wrappers.
I know what they look like.
Yeah, but they're not chocolate. No, as far as I know, they're just from memory, they're lollies. So a little bit like sherbet in the middle, I think. But I'm happy to be edumacated.
Yeah, okay. Someone tell us what bonbons are and send us some. That'd be good.
Oh, I need to also backtrack because we never really finalised the name for Sex Worker Barbie. And we had a fantastic comment from someone. And Sex Worker Barbie's actual name is?
Of Ken.
And we think that's beautiful.
I do think it's beautiful.
How is Of Ken? Still in the van?
Still in the van. So Of Ken helps us when we do van recordings.
Excellent. Yeah, she does. She does. And still hanging with Raven.
Yeah, they're hanging out in the glove box. And every now and again, someone sits in the front seat and opens the glove box and goes, what's that? And I'm like, oh, that's our sound engineer.
Yeah. She's very effective.
She is very effective. So we've been a bit slack. I've been a bit slack because I got slapped in the face, metaphorically. No abuse. Because, see, and I know why it happened.
Yes.
Is because that touch wood we did when I was saying how great Will was doing.
Yeah.
We did it on this table that we're sitting at. Yes. Would you like to tell everyone about this beautiful table of mine?
This lovely table of yours.
Which is spectacular, by the way.
Oh, it is. It's beautifully made and handcrafted by my ex-partner. So, therefore, I...
So, Amanda had the choice of burning it but you're such a good environmental citizen.
I could not in all good conscience set fire to it, so I moved it on to another household, which hopefully I had hoped would rub off the bad juju, but...
Maybe not. Maybe I need to white sage it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just not touch wood. I'll lean back for the...
She's trying. Seal. Oh, look, that dummy that's dabbing. Do that. That's wood.
Yeah. So, we'll just suddenly did their thing again and just slept.
So how many hours are we talking about?
The first one was, it wasn't 32 hours straight, but it was 22 hours, got up for an hour and a half, couldn't stay awake, had a cuddle. Oh, my God, did I milk that? Because they're not a cuddly person. and then went back to sleep for another 10 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and we were thinking, oh, maybe it was did too much at physio or maybe it's too much doing physio and something else on the same day and, you know, thinking of all these other reasons. Maybe they're sick, maybe something. And then it just stayed and stayed.
So out of curiosity, so when Wilson's asleep like that, are you doing supplemental feeds? And
yeah, so we run I don't know why I say we. It's me. It's just me.
The royal we.
Yeah, so I run Hydrolite about 80 mils an hour. So I sort of wait to about 9 or 10 and see.
To keep things hydrated.
And
yeah.
then, yeah, I do a supplemental feed as well.
Mm.
And if it's a whole day, I'll do another one at night if they don't wake up for night time. But I just spoke to the dietitian yesterday. And they would like me to do 3.
Sure, yeah.
If they sleep for the whole day. It's so depressing. I find it so depressing.
Where is Wilson?
They are asleep.
And have been asleep since?
About 7 o'clock last night.
Oh, God.
So, but we're back. That lasted about a week where it was just nearly the whole week they slept. And I was... Oh, just back to the same thing, that horrible feeling. You want to rush into the hospital because it's not bad, but, you know, there's no point and blah, blah. And I was emailing the ped and I was like, dear diary, I'm just letting you know what's going on because when I see you next, I won't remember what day it was or when it happened. So I'm just writing it all now. You don't have to ring me back in case there's something else I'm doing and just letting them know what I was doing. And I sent. And then by the end of the week, they're still doing it. Am I doing the right stuff? And just let them know what I'm doing. And I just, it's a whole stream of consciousness. You know, people from here can see how I just blah, 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 especially when I'm stressed. And, yeah, they gave me a call and just like, look, I can get. And she actually said this would be like a kick in the guts. We've had a great couple of months and nothing we can do besides what we're doing. And after a little while, yeah, it sort of went back to, oh, nothing has gotten worse. This is just...
So I'm going to ask a curly question now, and it is leading somewhere. It's not totally curly, but it's partially curly. Hmm. A little wavy, shall we say. Is there a Facebook group for the mitochondrial disorder that she they have?
Yeah. So there is some mito
groups. Are you in that group?
Yeah.
Because the reason I'm asking is I was having a discussion with Jill Doe this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And when Jill Doe is ready to reveal her name, then I'll leave that up to them. And their child also has a disorder that's life-limiting. Mm. And we were saying that one of the issues with the Facebook groups is it's really sometimes tricky to log into them because you get the people who are newly diagnosed and asking 6 million questions it can't answer.
Yeah.
And then the people whose kids have passed away.
Yeah.
And so it's like the Facebook support groups, but they're also kind of, I feel like a kind of masochism.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. No, I'm not a fan. I joined them straight away. So as soon as you're after some more information,
yes,
so you join and you think. But then so many of them, you know, you say something like, "Oh, they're asleep. Does anyone else child do this? Oh, yeah. Have you tried this? Have you tried that? Have you done this? Oh, you should do this mitochondria. Oh, make sure the doctors have all tested this and make sure." And you just everyone's telling me, and I'm like, I have doctors and we do what the doctors say to do and of course they've tested for that and of course they've checked their liver and their
does come from a good place, but sometimes there's just comments made and this is an opinion and I like everyone, opinions are like assholes, everyone has one. I don't actually find those Facebook online support groups any helpful at all.
They're not for me. I think they
might be for some. They might be for other people. And if you get some,
not everyone has someone they can just do a podcast with for support.
Yeah, indeed. And that's so. I'm not dissing anyone else, but I sort of I don't comment often. But like I had an experience recently where I just asked a general question in a general group about sleep because I have the other sleep experience, which is there is no sleep.
Yeah,
you know,
and we're going to do a whole chat about that
we are one. Indeed but that and then the response of some of them, I was sort of more just having a bit of a chat because, you know, when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and no one's awake, it's good to see what's going on. And, yeah, I got some really interesting, funny responses. My favourite one being that, you know, some parents are Googling recipes, other parents are Googling home-based tranquilizer darts. Which is now my favourite ever meme.
I haven't seen that. That's
hilarious. Because there is no sleep in my house. But then there's comments too that are just like almost the equivalent of take a concrete pool and harden the fuck up. And so for someone like me, I'm not that sensitive, so I'm pretty good. But that was actually really harsh. It was the comment, I won't go into it too much more, but that and I think that's why I think you have to take your online support and your Facebook support and stuff with a big
container of salt. I know the comment you're talking about, and that was I cope, so why don't you cope? It was basically all they said. Yeah. In a lot of words. And that's not fair because we all have times, and you do cope, but you were being vulnerable. You were saying, this is too much today. And
it's a rare moment that I do that.
Yeah.
And it comes back to the comments we've made before. You and I say it's like it's not hard to be kind. Be kind. Be kind first off.
And people, unless you say, can you tell me what you would do in this situation, just go, yeah, that sucks. Yeah, that's horrible. Oh, my God. Or I feel you. Or, you know, you want to be seen and you want just someone to go, that sucks. That is hard.
Yeah. And so I had a somewhat terse response that involved me listing all of the medications that are supplied.
But that's the thing. When people online think you're not doing anything or you haven't thought of the most basic, obvious things. Someone said, have you checked their iron levels if they're sleeping that much? Oh, the doctor's never thought of that.
But no person
from the internet, yes, you have. They are a bit of a, I can't do it. We are where everyone's got different disabilities and, you know, everyone's quiet. That's the kindest.
It is. And there are moments where it's just everyone having a bit of a laugh and that's what we need. I think, so unless someone actually specifically spells out, can you tell me what you've done for this? What would you recommend? Then probably
don't offer.
I don't know. I might just be being a bit, special. Because I haven't slept.
Yeah, and that's me as well. Well, I've slept. I can't say I haven't slept, but I did. I went on a grief spiral. It was grief. It was pure grief.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think that talk that we had, I'm getting therapy by proxy from your therapist.
Thanks, Jen.
Because it was like, oh, my God, I feel so bad for them. I feel guilty because I can't do anything. I had to go, oh, my God, this is grief. Now, this is like horrible, horrible, sick to the stomach, can't do anything, can't fix it, grief. And I actually gave myself permission. I went and had a cry.
Complicated grief response.
And I just, thought, no, I'm just feeling shit and I'm gone with that.
Absolutely. And then you can – look, denial is always there when you need it.
Mm.
You hop back into that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I was. And that's the thing. So I was in denial for a few months and that was an amazing spot to be. And I think you have to do that for self-preservation. And I think I said there was moments where I'd go, oh, I'm just waiting for something to happen. And then I'd push that aside. Nah, that's not a place to live. Denial, this is great. They're doing great. But they are still doing good. We've lent an electric wheelchair.
Yay, which is so just brilliant. What a life-changing thing that must be.
It really, really has been. So the van's getting a good workout now and they've been using it around school, so they've been to the canteen by themselves and got an icy pole and, it's great. We went into town and just let them off you go and they went and bought something from Target all by themselves without someone hovering.
Just normal life goals, normal things.
They're 12.
Yeah, and absolutely.
We always have that realisation of what normal, and I'm doing those little quotation marks, is because, my stepson's 12 as well.
Mm.
And, you know, he's out, home from school, out the door, skateboarding, meeting people up for mountain biking, into town on the weekend, just constantly running around doing stuff. And it's like, oh, my God, I got so excited because we all went and paid for something themselves in Target.
And that's great, though. Like, I take those small joys. It's like the whole poly community says, don't yuck my yum.
No, anyway. It's great. Yuck my yum. It is fucking great.
What I was going to get at in my roundabout fashion was this morning, similarly. So we're at home and I'm popping Maddie into her Levis T-shirt because she's in grade six and, you know, and we're getting dressed standing up in the mirror. You know, and she's picking out what she wants to wear. She likes to wear a bit of a perfume or a smelly, so she picks out which one she wants. And then she's all loving on me, and then we get to school and she's basically the equivalent of piss off. She's like, ah, rah, 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 because she doesn't talk. She's like, ah, yeah, and then gets out of the car and slams the door and walks off.
Wow.
Like, piss off, Mum, don't embarrass me. That's exactly what
that's
it was.
So good.
And that, for me, was a moment of great joy because it's like, oh, yeah. The you go girl.
Yeah. You are teenagering on me.
You are hormones.
Oh, God, yeah, hormones.
But what else is happening? What else is going on?
Taking a little break in the middle of editing here to have a little nip of a gin from New South Wales to support our fellow Australians who are in the middle of a bitch of a lockdown. We sent a tiny bit of this to try. Sorry, Amanda, I'm trying it without you. There is only one nip here. It's really refreshing. It's like a really summery gin. Heaps of botanicals, which I can't quite pick. I'll look up the notes for it and put a link in the show notes. But it feels like a summery gin that I'm sitting here drinking while staring at a snow-covered mountain. So I love the irony. All right. Back to the program. So we've done that. Oh, school. I know school listen now, so I have to
moderate.
Well, it's funny because I went into school the other day and I had my hair up in a bun, and I think we talked in the last episode released about my
mum bun
not doing great. So they're like, "Are you okay?"
Oopsie. Well, I know the school listens that as well, and fortunately, like I've said many times before, the school has been awesome. But there's a bit of nerve-wrackingness for me going forward because we're transitioning to high school.
I know. I wish it was there was enough work done while Will was there for Maddie to be able to go to the same school. That would be so good. But I know it's just not flat enough. It's just not, it's just not accessible enough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so accessible enough. So at the start of the year when we had OTs come through, oh, was it last year? I don't know, at some stage before they started school. So the hospital OT came through and then our allied health OT, and we were talking about, like, cooking class, and we looked at the art class and looked at table heights and what to do. And the cooking, there was already a low cooktop because someone else in a wheelchair was there. But it so when Will started this term, so this is 6 months in, on the first day, firstly, they hadn't thought about their meal management plan. So their first day they made fruit kebabs. So then I got a, you know, email going, oh, can we work through this? And that's fine. And I get that, you know, stuff gets missed. But people don't understand that. That day I got that, I actually lost my shit and I got really shitty. And it wasn't that. Those are, I can quite easily go through the things and adapt them. But I'd also got paperwork from the NDIS, something else from
Let's back carers. Up a bit. I'm going to do the triple bottom line. Hello, 90s. social, environmental and economic. But I the bottom line, you know this, that term? No. There's a bottom line. It's not just financial. There's other aspects to it. So but let's work through them. So the social bottom line is that that wasn't a safe environment for Wilson. So therefore a normal activity that everyone else participates in was made unsafe and potentially.
And that's the thing that gets me. And it's not the school, as I said, like I brought it up. School fixed it. Not well, actually, it's still not fixed. But I actually went to the principal. I sent an email to both the principal and the assistant principal going, hey, guys, I'm really pissed off. Which one of you two wants to listen to me rant for 10 minutes? Knowing full well. And then they sent me a message and next morning they sat down with me and I knew it would get fixed. I knew that was fine.
But that's not the point.
I shouldn't have to.
Exactly. And let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about the economic bottom line. So one of the things is when you say you had OTs come through, I'll just do a rough estimate. How many hours were put into that?
Oh, I can tell you. I looked up. Yeah. It was about almost $2,000.
So $2,000 of Wilson's for the first one, for Wilson's funds were spent for the school, for the benefit of her, but also other kids that are coming through and it's relevant for, were spent to make sure that everything was safe and covered.
And to make it easier for them. So they knew exactly what needed to be done. And then I thought that would make it so much easier for them.
And then they don't have to wait for a Department of Ed therapist to come through and do the same thing. Because that can take forever because there's not enough therapists because stuff. I won't go political.
But then we came through a second time later on the year when we looked at the electric wheelchair to see what needed to be done there. As well, and
so another 1,000, say.
Oh no, that was probably a bit more because then they had to do the report afterwards. So it's not just the hours because they've got to travel, and then it's the hourly rate right there.
So let's do a rough estimate about five. Let's say five. Okay, so $5,000 was spent. So that's the economic. Environmental is probably not the right bottom line here, but you got all of that investment in time, energy, care, preparation. The social and then the emotional one, which is that we send our kids to school, our vulnerable children, to school, hoping that school will be a safe environment and that they can experience a bit of quality of life and normal life. And you've done all of the bits that you need to do. And then
6 months in, first class.
And fuck all's been done.
Nothing's been done. And and that's the thing, like, as I said, you know, the recipe thing, oh, that's really easy. But then it's that day I had like six different little things that needed to be done from different, you know, OTs and speeches and stuff and all just little things. And it's like, that's so much. And I was so overwhelmed and I was just like, fuck this. But it's also they should just be able to walk into class and do it. It shouldn't be this massive having to have appointments and things. But the reason that was disconnected was because people kept just putting paper on it and turning it on and walking off and causing fires. Go public school system. Because it's just inside the door. So they want to put a kill switch in and this and that. So they were talking about, oh, we'll just stand on, they had a big box to stand on and everything like that, which when we did the first two original OTs, they said, no, that's really dangerous because you're standing up and you're an OT, you understand that. Blah, blah, blah.
Given the seizure history as well, dear Lord.
So first one where they're cooking, I said, yep, go for it, but you need to watch and you know that it's unsafe. Got home and they'll tell me about how they cooked, I think it was pikelets, and they were so excited and they had leftover and they arranged it all for us and stuff. And then they said they missed out the end of class. And I'm like, why? Oh, because I burnt myself. Just flipping tables, and it ended up being humorous because they weren't really hurt or anything. Yeah. But no one told me until Will told me, and I just when I went and spoke to the coordinator of the learning centre, I just said I was just going to send a big email that just went "Told you so." That's it. Just like "Told you so." It's not that. And, yeah, they're working on it. They've got the ramp bit outside so Will can get outside now, even though they probably never will want to. And it's just that constant, is it fixed, is it done?
That hypervigilance, which then feeds into the grief, because when you compare and contrast to a neurotypical kid that's running around out in the world versus our kids that are not, and you think about if you're a parent with a neurotypical kid, and you send them off to school, do any of you worry too much about this stuff? Probably not.
No.
But, look, it's just this is a really stupidly busy life. Like yesterday I had three back-to-back appointments. And this will, you know how I roundabout to things. I'm coming back to Wilson School. But yesterday I had three appointments. So for my cherub, so I had doctor's appointment, then followed up by looking at a short-term accommodation, and then followed up with a meeting at a provider's place in the afternoon. That all had to fit in within school hours, and trying to do all of that and juggle all of that and answer all of the emails and all of the other things. So that's a fairly typical day for us. So then for you, you think about the other thing is the investment of your time and energy to make sure that your child was safe, so that Wilson was safe, so that they were able to access and be involved in the school.
And it's the involvement. Like, they burn themselves a bit, and yeah, they'll be fine. But it's just that I just want them to walk into class and be involved.
Like everyone else and just rock up and just be not the kid in the wheelchair and not the kid that has all those things that they have to adjust. It should just be ready to go so that it just is a natural flow on.
Which, and that's the thing. And I think every time something like that comes up, and as I said, school sorted it, it's all fine, everyone's great, you know, they all, everyone does exactly what they need to do. But every time something like that comes up, it's just this harsh, horrible reminder that your kid isn't well and your kid isn't like the other kids and your kid has to fucking struggle.
And if your kid is asleep for 32 hours and they actually finally make it to school, and then they can't participate because that hasn't been done, and so their brief moments of normal quality of life are impeded on because someone dropped the ball. That is just
and that's cutting. I think that's what it is.
Because they don't, our kids don't have time. They do not have 80 years to learn how to make pikelets.
So all the other kids, if oh my gosh, the, you know, we don't have that ingredient, we're going to cook something different today. Like, they get to do it 1,000 more times.
That,
you know,
there's no guarantee for our kids that they will be able to rock up to the next session.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's what it is. It just it's not the And that's what we would really love other people to understand. It's not that one thing. We're not bitching just because the hot plate's not connected. It's not that one little thing. It is the overarching. Our kids miss out on so much stuff. They're not running into town. They're not running off with their friends and
my
playing.
My daughter isn't, like, setting up, doing a TikTok video.
No.
My daughter is not doing the.
Thank God, though.
Yeah. China spies. No, but that's the point. It's like, I'm not having those discussions with our kid, with my daughter, and you're not having that discussion with Wilson.
Yeah.
But look, I'm really thrilled. I want to sort of just share with everyone that I got the Superman skin in Fortnite. So
beautiful.
I'm feeling the love right now, level 181.
Cool.
So, you know, hey.
I'll let Wilson tell you about the Ariana Grande
concert.
Fantastic,
because it was epic. And,
I know.
Yeah.
And I pretended I cared.
but it was awesome.
No, it was
so
actually
epic.
Really cool when I watched the – they actually got up early to watch that. We set alarms and everything.
Fantastic.
So they could watch it. But we're not going to have a drink today. I'm going to do one when I'm editing this.
Sure.
And then it's a bit early.
Yeah, just a bit early, and you can then – you know, drink alone, but pretend I'm here. So that makes it okay.
All right. I think we'll wrap it up.
I think we will.
All right. Thanks, Amanda.
Ciao, lovely.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Gin and a Mug. Jump onto our Facebook group and let us know what you thought. There's also the Patreon. Feel free to chuck a few bucks in there if you want to support our gin habit, or if you want us to pay an editor to make this sound less shit. But most importantly, if this episode has brought up any issues for you, we've put the link in the show notes to Beyond Blue, Lifeline and Carers Australia. Make sure you keep talking. Big love to you all.